Dick Cass. And, Dick, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Nice to talk to you, Ken.
We appreciate it. Before we start getting into the soccer, and I know that you personally weren't behind it, but I just want to give kudos to your organization, the Orioles as well, for the way you guys treated Mo Gabba and just everything you guys did for him. And I just think you guys showed a lot of class. And
he was such a – I mean, here's a young guy who faced so much adversity and yet was always so positive. I mean, he was such an inspiration for everyone here at the Ravens, particularly some of our players. So he helped us, and it's so sad to see him go so soon. It's just unbelievable, actually. Great guy, a great guy.
Well, Dick, I know obviously you guys have had so much on your plate, navigating through COVID. Are we going to have camps? Aren't we? And all that stuff. But at the same time, you've been very involved in this effort to try to put Baltimore on the world stage, literally, in 2026. Can you, I guess, kind of explain from your guys' perspectives, and obviously, using your facilities would be a big part of this, and M&T Bank Stadium, but can you detail how involved you guys are with this process, along with the Maryland Stadium Authority and
well,
the
it's
Orioles
really, you know,
others?
It's a joint effort. It's at the presentation last week was done remotely to FIFA representatives and U.S. Soccer Federation representatives. It was really, the delegation was really led by the Lieutenant Governor Rutherford, and Al Hutchison, the CEO of Visit Baltimore, and Terry Hasseltine, Executive Director of Maryland Sports, Roy Sommerhoff, our Senior Vice President for Stadium Operations, and Mike Friends, Executive Director of MSA. Our role is really to manage the stadium during the thing, and to we're an important part of the financial presentation and how we're going to operate the stadium and what our budget is. I mean, this is one of those deals where you hope if all goes well, you break even. That's what we hope to do as an organization. May require some change, some very modest changes to our stadium to get the stadium ready to meet FIFA specifications, and we'll be in charge of that as well. We'll see how that goes. But I know that I think when we made some original presentations back in 2018, I think our stadium fares very well against the competitors, and I think it's a great venue for soccer. And we were disappointed that the meeting had to be remote and that the representatives couldn't come here in person. But I think they will make a site visit either later this year or more likely, I think, sometime in 2021.
Dick, you guys have had soccer matches at the stadium before. I'm just curious. You said there have to be some adjustments. Were they made for those prior games? What would change?
Well, some of the prior games, you know, we didn't have – we had an artificial surface, and we used to bring in grass.
Yeah.
And we'd lay down a plastic, and we put on this heavy-cut sod. So now we've got real grass, thankfully. But, you know, we've got a little bit of artificial on the sides, so we'll probably have to do something about – we would do something about that for the soccer matches. And so that's the type of thing we would have to do. And there may be more. We'll see. You know, when we at the meeting, they raised some questions about some parts of our presentation. They have, you know, they want to hear more about how we're going to handle traffic, issues like that we have to address when they come here for the site visit. But I think we're in reasonably good shape. You know, it's tough competition. However, there will be. Right now, it looks as though there'll be three venues in Mexico and three venues in Canada, and there'll be 10 venues in the United States. And there are 17 cities competing for those 10 spots. Wow. That could change a little bit. Maybe they would take a site away from one of the other countries and add one to the U.S. I'm not sure, but that's the competition we're up against. A lot of NFL venues are in the competition as well.
Dick, if that delegation is able to actually come here physically and doesn't have to do, you know, a virtual tour come 2021, do you know how involved you guys would be in that? And also, do you have any sense of how many matches we might actually be able to get?
Well, I think that, you know, we are not a city that would get the semifinals or the finals. Those will go to the biggest markets and some really brand new stadium, I would imagine. So we would probably get group matches. We would get three or four matches spread out over probably 10 days or so is what you would get. So that's
beautiful.
That's very good. It would bring a lot. I mean, it would bring a lot of people to the city and the surrounding area for an extended period of time. So it's great. Great for the city, great for the Baltimore area, and great for Maryland.
Ravens president Dick Cass joining us. It's Inside Access here on a Wednesday. Jason and I were talking about this last night a little bit. When you guys made your expansions to the facility there in Owings Mills, you didn't have this COVID world in mind when you did it, but I'm just curious, how difficult has this been preparing for training camp in this new world we're in currently?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I do think that the expansion of our facility out here helped us get ready for COVID-19. I mean, I think we have, in terms of number of square feet, we have one of the larger facilities in the league. Enables us to spread out fairly easily and accommodate the physical distancing we're required to do. But I'll tell you, it's an enormous amount of work we've undertaken to get ready, and we are ready. We've got a big trailer that was been brought in to do the testing. We put a great big tent on front of the dining room to expand the dining room, an air-conditioned tent. It looks, when you're in it, it feels like you're in a building. So we can have more physical distance in the dining room and still serve 80 players and coaches at the same time. So there's a lot of changes like that. We made changes in the locker room, all the meeting rooms. We've taken out some chairs. A lot of changes. Changed up the weight room. So it's a lot of work, and we'll be ready. And I'm looking out on the field now. There's some young guys out there running. The rookies are out there running around and conditioning and the like, things like that. The veteran players are still going through the testing process, and they will not be able to actually be in the building until Saturday, and then they'll be here just for physicals.
Dick, get back to soccer for a second. You guys have, put a welcome tent out there for Gold Cup. I know at one point when DC United was maybe going to be Vagabonds while their stadium was being built, there was at least conversations that, hey, maybe you could come play at M&T for a while. You've hosted friendlies. Have you talked to Steve at all about a lot of NFL owners own soccer clubs in Europe or MLS teams or USL teams? I know the USL loves this market. I would love to see a USL team here. Is that anything that you think the Ravens might be interested in at some point?
I don't think that, you know, an MLS team would not come here.
Right.
I don't think, because of Washington. Another type of soccer league could have a team here, but it wouldn't. I mean, M&T Bank Stadium would not be a good venue for that.
No.
You know, you'd have to really build another stadium, a much smaller stadium. And there's been talk about that over the years at various times, but, you know, not very serious talk. I mean, we'd have to partner with some other people probably to do that. So we haven't talked about that really in a couple of years now. We may start to consider it again. I mean, soccer is growing in popularity. And there are some locations that could handle that as well. So we wouldn't host the games at M&T though.
No, but I was thinking like USL, like Pittsburgh has a 3,000, 5,000 seater right near their training facility. You know, I just growing up here as a kid, you know, we had the Skipjacks, we had the Lightning, we had minor league basketball, minor league hockey. The MISL was a big thing back in the day. And now there's just so fewer places to take your kids. And now we don't even have minor league baseball in the area.
Well,
I think
it might make sense would be to combine build a smaller stadium that would be both for lacrosse and soccer. And that's what you'd really like to think about. But to be truthful, we have not studied that. We've talked about it, but not studied it. We've been busy. And so
I know.
Now that we've finished we finished the stadium renovations and we finished the renovations out here, we got a CBA done. We got the amended CBA done.
Yes.
Now, you know, once we get through this period of kind of a difficult time right now, I think that's the kind of thing we will think about. You know, we'll think about what else we can do. But I think in some ways our focus is much more on what we can do in the Baltimore community right now. I mean, the Baltimore community has so many needs, and we are sort of in a unique position. Steve has assets. He wants to spend it, and I think that's where he will be looking to make investments, not so much in a sports team, but really in the community and in the young people in this community. And that's where I think you'll see some investments made within the next year.
Ravens president Dick Cass joining us at Inside Access on a Wednesday. Dick, I'm curious, are you guys paying attention to baseball, paying attention to basketball and hockey, obviously?
Oh, yeah, we watch all of that stuff. I mean, we're watching closely. We started with the German Soccer League and we'll watch what they're doing, and then the Premier League, and now we're watching baseball and hockey and the NBA. And it's, so it's it, we're looking at all those situations, and everyone's different. I mean, you know, it's hard to compare, but you know, we're probably closer to baseball in some ways because we're not in a bubble. We have created, in a sense, we've created a bubble here, and during the day it really is a bubble. But when people leave here, they're going home, and that's true not only of the players, it's the entire staff. So we all have to be. We're not staying inside a bubble at night or on the weekends and when on our day off or something. So it's a very different situation. It's probably more akin to baseball. Our travel is much different than baseball, though. You guys know when we travel, you know, we'll leave on a Saturday afternoon. We'll go to a hotel in another city, not leave the hotel in this COVID-19 environment until the morning when we get on buses to go over to the stadium and then get back on the buses, go back out to the airport and climb back on our personal private plane and head back to Baltimore. So it's a little, our travel is going to be easier than baseball's travel in that sense, but we're not in a bubble and baseball's not in a bubble and we're subject to really, it's really going to be the responsibility of all of us. And I'm not just pinning this on the players. It's really the staff as well, including me. You just can't, although I'm less likely to go out somewhere at night, but we all have to be careful. We have a responsibility to each other, and that we have to take that seriously. And you know, so far, knock on wood, everything's gone well. But we're so early in the process; we don't know how it's going to go. I'm confident that we can protect people here. I'm not, you know, but when we leave here, everyone's going to have it's a different game. So we'll see how it goes.
Dick, I think the average fan has no idea the magnitude, the amount of human capital it takes to get through an NFL workday. And somebody's got to cut the grass and line the grass and feed all these guys and tape up all those ankles.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, we had to cut down to 100 people, not counting the players. We've cut down to 100 Tier 1 and Tier 2 people that can be in the restricted areas of the building on a day that the players are here. And 100 sounds like a lot of people.
It's not.
But when you start doing the numbers, it's nowhere near as many as we'd usually have. We had to cut back on equipment guys. We had to cut back on athletic trainers. And particularly during training camp, when we expected to have 90, we're only going to have 80. But still, it's 80 players, not the normal 53 plus 10 on the practice squad. Feeding three meals a day to all these people is an enormous undertaking. Then you got the media, our own media has to be some of them have to be in the tier two category, the digital media, our own digital media people and our writers. And, you've got security, you've got people who are cleaning. I mean, it's you got all the GM and his staff and all the coaches. I mean, you get to 100 very, very quickly. So we've had to cut out a lot of people.
Dick Cass, before we let you go, and this has been great, we really do appreciate it. Jason and I have a debate on the program. We ask every guest this question. It's not a sports question, very simple question. Are you a bar soap or body wash person?
I like the bar soap.
My man.
I'm old-fashioned. I think most people my age don't even know what body wash is almost. All the young guys use body wash, right?
This exercise has taught us more than you might think, Dick.
Yeah.
And there
well, that's interesting. I would have thought the young guys used body
not
wash.
Not all. The smart ones are bar soap. And you are the 50th person on team bar soap, Dick. And it was a race to 50. So we could not have found a better person.
Do I get a prize for that?
You absolutely do. I'm not sure. Maybe you know what?
A week supply of bar soap.
I will bring you like one of those 12 packs of. Are you Dial, Ivory? What's your?
Well, yeah. Where you go?
Irish Spring. Ivory. Whatever it is, that Irish. Spring.
Irish Spring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whenever.
No, you don't need to do that, Jason. I can afford it. Believe me.
Well, it's the thought. It's the gesture that counts, though. I don't want you to think we took your vote for granted.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Good talking to you guys. Good luck.
Likewise.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Take care.
Dick Cass, president of the Baltimore Ravens.